Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game, sponsored by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you. We head to our 102.5 the game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Steve Lehman from News Channel 5, talking all things Tennessee Titans. Steve, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, guys. Maybe it's just how early it is, but I sort of feel like I went back in a time warp this morning. The Big Ten is consecutive national champions in football. What's going on there?
I know. It's wild. Tough times for the SEC. just rough right now. Got to get back on top. Can't let the Big Ten run away with it.
It's incredible, and no signs of stopping. Ohio State with the resources they have. Michigan's coming back with Bryce Underwood at quarterback, so there's some good teams up there, not that the SEC is going to go away, but it definitely looks like a two-conference race here moving forward.
Yep, there's no doubt about that. So, Steve, it has been a very busy couple of weeks here for the Tennessee Titans. Rand Carthon out as general manager. They've gone through their search with Chad Brinker leading the way, and Mike Borgonzi from the Chiefs is where they land for their next GM. What do you make of that move and the way that this offseason has transpired to this point for the Titans, with Brian Callahan remaining on staff, Rand Carthon being out, and now Borgonzi in as GM?
There's a lot going on there. I think, like anything that happens with this team right now, Robbie, you almost have to wait and see to judge any type of move that they make, because there's just been so much uncertainty about the direction they're trying to go. And even in this situation, I think the dismissal of Rand Carthon raised so many questions about what the organizational hierarchy was the last couple of years and what he was truly responsible for this past year. And I think now you get a little bit more clarity with Chad Brinker being truly the guy at the top of the food chain in the football department, and Mike Borgonzi coming in to be the guy, in a lot of ways, essentially to buy the groceries for what the roster is going to look like as general manager. And he has a great pedigree and background with that. What he did with that group in Kansas City looks really good on paper. I think he's a tremendous candidate that they got, and so I give them props for that. But if you look at where Rand Carthon came from, San Francisco had a really good track record when they got him a couple of years ago, too.
Yep.
Now, the experience level between those two guys is completely different. Rand Carthon was pretty early on in a pro personnel type of role in San Francisco. He was not the top guy there. And so to come in and be the general manager that was really in charge of everything, especially after Mike Vrabel was let go, now all of a sudden, like, everything falls on Rand Carthon. I'm not sure if he gets that job if Mike Vrabel wasn't the head coach in that situation, because I think they thought they had such a strong-willed head coach that they were willing to give a lot of the responsibility to and a lot of the final say to at the time. Now you have a much different situation than that. So Mike Borgonzi comes in with a ton of responsibility when it comes to this football roster. I think he's going to have significant say over some of the coaching decisions and the staff decisions that Brian Callahan makes as well. And so I think you have a little bit more of an idea of what the structure actually is going to look like. But they've changed it so many times over the last 4 years. Why do we think this structure is now going to be the one that works? And so while I think the hire is a good one, at least on paper, we can only wait and see how it actually plays out.
Right. Like, I agree. He's a guy who, you know, if you hired someone that other could have gotten another GM job or other GM jobs, that means something. And he has had a key role there by all accounts. But the Titans, to me, have said different things about Brinker's power just in the last couple weeks. So I have no, yeah. I mean, I have no idea. They have an incredible knack for making things as confusing as possible, which at this point I have to look at as intentional to some degree. But another key there, of course, Steve, moving forward, is Brian Callahan. And we've talked some about him today, and, you know, obviously quarterback development, which is a big selling point with him, and he's coaching a bad roster last year. He's trying to work with a quarterback who I think independently did some things that, you know, no one would ever coach someone to do. But still, it was a bad year. So what do you think of Brian Callahan as a coach based on the information available and his standing right now in this organization?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think it would have been the easier move at the end of the season, especially with the number one pick, to just clean house completely and try to bring in all new people with the understanding that you're moving forward and put them all at a level playing field. Put them at square one so you can do the full evaluation of every piece of it over the next couple of seasons. They decided not to do that. I think that's frankly the harder decision in this because it keeps everybody at like these stair-stepped levels within the organization about how long they've been there and what their power level is. You have to strain really hard to see areas where the Titans showed promise under Brian Callahan. You've got to dig deep into the analytics to things like third down conversion rate and stuff like that in short yardage situations and all that to find an offense that lives up to any level of the expectation that you would have had for Brian Callahan coming in. That said, two things stand out to me about what happened with the Titans offense last year. Number one, if you watched the divisional round of the playoffs this weekend, I don't know if I saw Will Levis or Mason Rudolph have as much time at any point in the season that any one of those quarterbacks had during the four divisional games over the past weekend. You simply cannot function if you cannot stand back in the pocket in the NFL and dissect the field and throw the ball where it needs to go. And the Titans still, just like a couple of years ago, didn't have an offensive line to do that consistently. And then the second part of that, and again, look at the divisional games this weekend. All four teams that lost in the divisional round this weekend actually had the most total yards in the game. But they also had the most turnovers in the game, and the quarterbacks turned the ball over the most in the game. And that's how you lose. And the Titans turned the ball over an incredible 34 times this season, the vast majority of those coming from the quarterback position, some of them in head-scratching ways that I've never seen before. You cannot win like that. And I think that's where you have to come back at the end and ultimately say, okay, if we're trying to assign blame here, most of the blame goes on Will Levis in the quarterback position. And so if you can change the quarterback and maybe upgrade the offensive line a little bit, you can get a little bit more of an evaluation. And so the way I look at it this year, guys, I look at it that this is the true Brian Callahan evaluation. Last year, you really looked at it as, what do we have in Will Levis? Can we actually get a franchise quarterback after out of a guy that we got in the second round of the draft? And I think by all accounts, you have your answer right now. You don't. And so now you go into this season with a new quarterback, and the evaluation is as much on Brian Callahan as anybody else. Can Brian Callahan, with a different guy back there, succeed as a head coach and a play caller?
So, Steve, speaking of quarterback, I mean, you know, obviously we still got 3 months from now until the draft, but how do you view what the solution is at quarterback for the Titans? Should it be a Shedeur Sanders or a Cam Ward? Are there veteran options that either are available or could realistically be available that interest you? How do you view what the Titans should do at quarterback this offseason?
I think we're still a little ways away from figuring it out. We got to get more information about what these top two quarterbacks in the rookie class look like. And frankly, after this playoff performance, does Will Howard get any love in this? I mean, he threw for more yards and more touchdowns. I know he had a couple extra games than C.J. Stroud did at Ohio State. I think maybe there should be a conversation about his poise, his toughness, his size, his arm strength, all of that stuff as you come into it. But ultimately, they have to look at all those guys because this is the most important decision for this franchise over the next few years. When you have the new stadium looming out there, if you hit with the quarterback, it may not mean you're a playoff team this next year, but you at least have some positive momentum moving forward over the next couple of years. If you don't and you go through another season next year similar to what they just went through, I don't know if there's going to be anybody there in the month of December next year, and how you move that forward to try to sell more tickets in the new building, that becomes really challenging. And so, as Brian Callahan said, they have to turn over every stone to try to figure this out and identify whether it's one of those guys in the draft class that they can and should take at number one overall, or if there's some other guy out there that you can identify. Me personally, I think the best possible situation, because I don't love anybody in this draft class, the best possible situation is falling in love with a veteran that you can bring in into this situation and be serviceable. I don't think you're getting a star there. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is the answer. But is there a guy that Brian Callahan can show his offense off to, operate at the level he wants to, maybe not with a superstar, but with someone solid, and then you build up your roster in other places, starting with maybe a trade back that gets you a few more assets in a draft that you don't have a ton of draft selections? I think that's the perfect world. But who is that guy out there? That's something that they would have to identify. And obviously, they'd have to make it happen in March. So I think you know that answer here in a couple of months, not all the way in late April. If they go out and they make something happen in March, then you have the option to try to pursue a trade and do something different with that pick. I don't see a world, guys, where if they don't do that in March, you aren't taking a quarterback at number one. Because if you have the number one pick and you need a quarterback, you've got to take a quarterback.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned Will Howard, Steve. We did talk a little bit about that earlier. I don't know that he's high prospect. But I considered him a non-prospect, like I still consider Riley Leonard going into the playoff, and I think he at least made himself draftable here with this run, right? I mean, he was pretty spectacular for sure at times. I did want to quickly get your thoughts, Steve, on Ben Johnson to the Bears, a team, a franchise you know very well in your lifetime. Is this going to be it? Is this going to be the magical hire that brings Lombardi's back to Chicago?
Well, Joe, as you well know, I think fans have a feeling about organizations out there. And if you're not a very successful organization, you're always waiting for the other shoe to drop. And I can just tell you, yesterday when the news broke, several of my friends who are diehard Bears fans living in Chicago, the response was essentially, I can't believe they got a hire right. Of course, we still have the same ownership and the same people in charge, so I'm just waiting for it to work out poorly. However that, so they're already waiting for this to somehow get screwed up and not pan out the way they want. But on paper, they got the right guy. And, in a lot of ways, like the Titans last year, Brian Callahan was the most coveted first-time head coach in the pool. And what good did that do them last year? They had the worst record in the league. And so I think there's a lot of Bears fans that are concerned about that. But they finally got their offensive guy to pair with Caleb Williams, who did show a lot of promise last year as a rookie. And I think there's reasons to be excited there in a division that all of a sudden after the playoffs maybe doesn't look quite as much like a murderer's row as it did during the regular season.
Steve Lehman from News Channel 5, our guest here on the program. Steve, great stuff, man. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us, and we will talk to you soon.
Always a pleasure, guys. Do me a favor. Give Casey a hard time for sleeping in when it comes on with you.
Oh, I will. I will absolutely do that. Appreciate it. Steve Lehman, our guest here on the program. We'll react to what Steve had to say, the Rex rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next as well. And as Steve threw out there, we have Casey Alexander coming up at 8 o'clock. All that ahead, Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.